serious, you know, like wearing black.
Thanks, Chris.
The Rick Emerson Show says goodbye. Swaying back and forth. One of those mush pits. I don't know why I always, not that I always think of your death when I hear this song, that's the wrong way to put it. I guess what I'm saying is, I don't know why.
I can't even come up with snarky commentary right now.
I'm just saying, should you ever pass away, God forbid. I don't know why this is the song that leaps to mind as the one to play, but it just is. You got to be prepared for these sorts of things. What would you play for me?
I don't know.
I'm not
something
prepared.
From Wing. Knocking on Heaven's Door by Wing. Fantastic. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, your president, prophet, seer, revelator, and new God. He is Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Now let's talk about politics, because everybody else is. This was the weekend everybody was waiting for. There was a flurry of action by Hillary Clinton just a day after the New York Democrat announced she is forming a presidential exploratory committee.
I'm sorry.
While also detailing plans for legislation to provide health care for every child in America.
Well, that's crazy.
It's socialism.
It's Canadian.
Godless communism, and I won't have it.
And I don't want my freedom taken away.
I don't want health care. I was going to skip the obvious joke about how I think Bill Clinton did all the presidential exploring in that family. Yeah. But that's not even really accurate either. For the joke to work, you'd really need to say that Monica Lewinsky was the presidential exploratory committee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ms. Clinton explained that a vision for the U.S. is her main reason for entering the race.
I'm worried about the future of our country.
I am power hungry.
And I want to help put it back on the right course so that we can work together to meet the challenges that confront us at home and abroad in order to secure a better future for all these children.
And
I believe that I am best positioned to be able to do that.
I long to crush my enemies under my hobnailed Prada boot.
Who's going to be the first to make Hillary cry?
Seriously,
it never happens.
She doesn't cry. She can't cry. Just like little
she has no tear ducts left.
Hard crystalline substances might come out of her eyes, but they're not tears. Let's listen to that again. You can hear her pounding the podium, Khrushchev style.
I'm worried about the future of our country, and I want to help put it back on the right course so that we can work together to meet the challenges that confront us at home and abroad in order to secure a better future for all of these children. And I believe that I am best positioned to be able to do that.
You can tell that she's angry they won't just give her the presidency. You can come on! You can tell that with everything in her, she just really believes that they ought to just hand it to her. And
she deserves it.
It's making her angry that she has to run and compete for it. All right.
Fantastic.
She says President Bill Clinton and their daughter Chelsea will be her support system moving forward with their presidential ambitions.
Uh-huh.
They're my greatest support system, my greatest advisors, and they'll continue to be that.
What a strange marriage that is. I mean, look, I don't mean to pass judgment. Whatever works for anybody works for anybody. I don't care. I really don't. But that whole thing is just so weird. I mean, it's just so strange. God love them. They seem to make it work, and so it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
But the thing about Hillary that makes her so unlikable, though, might really make her a great president. That's the thing, is that she's just so tough.
So, will she be called President Clinton, too?
That's a good question. Do they call...
Bush too.
We've only had him for 7 years. Do they call him President Bush? You can tell how closely I pay attention to the country in which I live. They don't make a conscious effort, though, to distinguish George W. Bush from Bush the First, like in everyday news, do they? Because it's a given.
Buchanan does.
Understood. So I guess they would just call. I guess they would just say President Clinton.
Yeah.
And then he would be what, the first husband? Isn't that what they call it? We figured that out.
Yes.
Bill would be the first husband.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine how bizarre that would just that guy turned loose in the. In a White House full of fat young office clerks again. in a White House full of succulent young interns. I mean, never mind. That's going to be well plowed territory, so to speak. I'm not going to waste my comedic time on it. I'm just saying. We all know. right.
So then there's New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. He says he can be a presidential candidate that Americans can be proud of. He said the Bush administration could have done better.
It's clear that our next president must be able to accomplish critical goals.
My microphone is overdriven.
The dire situation created by the current administration.
My advanced team needs to learn how to set a microphone in front of me so that I do not overmodulate.
That's in New Mexico. It's probably full of scorpions and dirt and things.
Standing on top of a shrub. I'm just going to go back on the Hillary thing for just a second. Here's the only thing I have to say about Hillary, and by which I mean Hillary, I mean Bill, is that, I mean, can you imagine how crazy that guy's going to go? Because she's going to be gone constantly. She'll never be around. I mean, it's just that whole place is just going to be covered in bong resin and panties. She'll never be there. So,
not from Hillary.
No, not from, well, who's to say, really? I mean, it's not my business.
She's never had this much power before. Well, maybe she has.
I'm just saying, Bill got a lot of, he got a lot of philandering done on a pretty busy schedule, and that was with Hillary around most of the time. When she's going to be gone.
She wanted pizza, too.
She's going to be gone like 40 weeks out of the year. I can't, it's just no boundaries, no control, no governor on that guy at all. All right. Billary. Hey, did you coin that? You didn't coin Billary, did you?
I did not, no.
Scotty's typing in the screen, Billary Clinton. You're not the first one.
That's a good one, Scotty.
He is insisting he coined that. Well, good on you if you did. I don't believe it, but if you did, congratulations.
First I've heard of it.
Here's Tim.
So, let's go back to the Democratic Party, shall we? Well, Ted Kennedy says if John Kerry decides to run again for president, he will support him.
John Kerry will probably make his judgment decision. I expect soon. I'm going to support John. I've worked with him in the United States Senate. He's my colleague. He's a friend. He's a pathetic war hero.
He's a pathetic war hero.
He's got a great wealth of information on national security.
All right.
Oh, Ted, you're
drunk.
Probably.
Pickled. Can't win anything.
But in Massachusetts, is he forgiven? Yes.
Yes. It goes without saying there. John Kerry can't win anything. He will never win anything presidential. Ever, ever, ever. It's not going to happen. Never mind. I'm not even going to waste any time because we all know. I'm John Kerry. And then the thing is, I say that now and Sarah just rolls her eyes. It's just that guy.
He totally let us down when we needed him most. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
We don't need him.
That's
anymore.
What I'm saying. He has loser's contempt. That's what it is. We all just have contempt for that guy for not bringing it when he needed. He needed to bring his A game. He failed, and that is really a fool us twice, shame on us kind of thing. So he's not going to be given that chance. He will ask to run for president. He will be laughed at by a nation and dismissed accordingly.
And guess who's next in line to have that same treatment? John McCain.
Bam.
He says if he was in charge, he would have sent more troops to Iraq than the 20,000 the president wants
to send.
That's
the way to get elected.
From the beginning, many of us knew that it was a failed strategy. It was based on the mistaken belief that the Iraqi army and police would be able to take over the responsibilities far more quickly than they were able to.
That's what America wants to hear. Just send nothing, but just start sending fetuses over there. Just, let's see, what have we got here? Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Scotty the liar.
How do you mean, sir?
They used to refer to Bill and Hillary all the time as Hillary in his first administration.
I don't remember hearing it, but I didn't think he could possibly have coined that.
No, there was, who was the guy, there was a guy that had a talk show on way back a long time ago.
Could be any one of hundreds of people.
You know, Bill somebody, he was really boring. Anyway, he referred to her as Billary constantly.
Bill somebody, and he was really boring. Tim?
Yes.
Never mind, I didn't mean to disturb you. I didn't mean to disturb your reading there. Now what's going to bug me, there was a talk show host named Bill something, and he was really boring.
And he was in Portland, I think he was on 970.
No.
What's that?
We are the first live local
talk. Lars used to fill in for him, and then Lars took his show.
Not on 970.
Yeah, not on this station.
Okay, well, maybe it was the other one.
Clearly... We're just going to move on now. All right.
Thank you.
All right, there you go.
That required way too much thinking.
I thought there was going to be a little something. I apologize to everyone. I thought I could squeeze a little something out of that caller sponge, but it was dry. Jim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, this is Jim from North Plains.
Oh, no, it's going to be one of those calls. Okay, hello. Yes? Yes?
Hey, if Hillary gets elected, you know, Bill...
Wait, hold on. I can already tell from your tone of voice. Do I need to cue up the Ed McCarthy laugh?
Probably, and maybe you want to, but he will be the first black first husband. Didn't he say he was, like, the first black president once, way before?
Did he ever say that, or is that a thing that we all think he said?
You know what? I listen to you guys. If you said it or he said it, what difference does it make? It's funny. Come on.
Okay, well, that's true.
Let's let the facts get in the way of a good story.
No, you're right. No, I can't quibble with that, sir. That it doesn't really matter whether it's true or not. It was amusing.
Okay.
All right. No, but give me credit for being able to spot from your tone of voice that you were really calling in just to cue up a joke there.
Oh, no, I'm not too funny. I'm a listener.
Okay, and we're done. Thank you, sir.
I got to get my stuff out of the oven. See you later.
Okay, that's the funniest thing about that call. That was the funniest line in that call. Get your stuff out of the oven, sir. Do it now. Okay. Well, now I got to know. Oh, Bill Gallagher. That's who that guy's referring to. Didn't he
who?
Used to have a... He is some guy. He used to have a show here.
Oh, might have been one of the K-Pan people.
What's that?
Oh, that's the stuff you spray in a pan so the stuff doesn't stick to it?
K-Pan.
Yeah.
Bill Gallagher. Oh, I remember Lycus used to just beat him like the family mule. All right, well, in any event, what the hell was I talking about? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, but see, now it's going to bug me. Now I need to know that thing about Bill Clinton, because that's one of those things you hear all the time. Blah, 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 Bill Clinton, first black president. But he never said that, right?
No.
That's not a thing he said. Well, where did that come from?
I don't know.
Is that one of those things that, like...
Maybe he was in a minstrel show.
Why would you ever say that?
Well, he's describing himself. How else would he be...
I don't believe that... Let's end this now. I don't believe that Bill Clinton participated in minstrel shows. Why would you ever...
Well, I thought maybe that's where the line came from. He might be on stage.
Why would...
That was the first thing I thought of.
Clinton!
I don't know.
Why would the... There's nothing that rhymed with hammy or pammy there, so I had to... Why would the news department of CBS Radio Portland ever suggest that Bill Clinton, former president of the United States and potential first husband of the future, had once participated in minstrel shows? That's irresponsible journalism, Tim.
It probably is. And if it is, as Dan Rather would say, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, in any event... It's like on the internet how every rant, every monologue, every supposed pithy, anti-politically correct forward email you read is attributed to George Carlin. Mm-hmm. It seems like every joke that has anything to do with race relations in this country is attributed to Chris Rock. Just like on the internet, every parody song that people don't know who did it, it's attributed to Weird Al Yankovic. Every single observation that has ever been forwarded to you in an email that is about race relations in this country is attributed to Chris Rock, usually incorrectly. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know, but so somebody just sent me a thing like, Chris Rock was the one to say, who knows whether he did it. Let's move off of this. Here's Tim
so
Riley.
So, the other candidate who announced is this Senator Brown Bag from Kansas.
Senator Brown Bag.
He wants to strengthen marriage and is quite a breeder himself. He has 5 children and a lovely wife named Mary.
That's fantastic. He's the breeder in chief.
Yes, he is.
All right.
We need more breeding here, but only of white people from the Midwest.
Just aren't enough people.
People are going to be wandering around deserted silo towns, and people who don't look like us are going to come in and take over, and we just can't have that.
that should be his motto.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and there you go, because America needs more breeding.
Well, there isn't enough of it.
It's a breeding rainbow. Breeding, there's a joke there somewhere. There's a breeding, breeding.
Is that a PBS?
Yeah, breeding rainbow.
Just for the children.
No, that'll be a future. I should sell that phrase to the Daily Show for the next time they have some story about like gay parenting. Breeding rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
See, oh,
he's
because
against
rainbow,
that too, by the way.
Well, of course he is. Because where's he from?
Kansas?
Yeah, well, of course. Doesn't that go without saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
He has a bachelor's degree from Kansas State University. Whoop-dee-doo.
Cooka, Kansas.
And then he went on to the University of Kansas again. Twice.
Okay.
Because once wasn't enough.
Was he able to draw the turtle or the bunny?
I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. I'm sure the University of Kansas turns out many people with degrees in
mm-hmm.
dust. Here's Tim.
Meanwhile, it's another brutal week in Iraq. So far today, 75 people have been killed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
It's unfortunate that we've had such a bloody weekend.
Yes, it is.
But we're going to have some more bloody weeks and bloody weekends in the days ahead.
And that's
one of the reasons why I think we need to push a little harder to get these extra 20,000 or so troops into Iraq.
Clearly, we're running out.
Because they're all on our side.
Yeah, absolutely. They're on the side of God.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Meanwhile, the president is putting the finishing touches on his State of the Union speech at Camp David. Tony So said the president will be offering some bold proposals on a variety of fronts.
He understands his obligation as commander-in-chief.
No, he doesn't.
Is to go ahead and address forthrightly big problems and come up with solutions that not only are going to have political appeal, but they're also going to be effective.
Okay. First of all, the president's putting finishing touches. The president is putting the finishing touches on a bag of snack chips in the other room. He's putting no touches on any speech.
Barty, sit here. I might choke again.
Any kind of, he's going to get one of those dogs that can detect seizures. So, is that tomorrow, the State of the Union?
I don't know. Nobody will be watching.
Yeah, as though I care. As though anybody's going to raise your hand if you're going to watch the State of the Union.
Oh,
no,
yes.
No one.
Yes.
Do the networks even carry that anymore?
I don't know, but, you know, MSNBC... has he's doing news at night. They're showing movies now.
Is that true?
Yeah. They showed that movie with the guy that ate too much at fast food the other night.
Morgan Spurlock, Fast and Supersize Me.
Yeah. They show that instead of news in prime time.
Yeah, really, because what else? What is there
Keith
to cover?
Oberman, what is there to do?
Well, that's the thing. That he is, man, you want to talk about a guy who is the franchise. Keith Oberman is that entire network right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is sort of the Bill O'Reilly of that network. Just as Chris Matthews for a while, I don't know if he still is, was the franchise. I had to wean myself off, and wean is an unpleasant word. I had to wean myself off of CNBC after the last election because I just got into the thing of just watching Hardball with Chris Matthews. And doesn't it scream out for some sort of porn knockoff?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Hardball with Chris Matthews, doesn't that scream to have some sort of, and the title writes itself. I just had to gradually scale back my Hardball watching. It just gets dirtier every time I say it. I was spending all my time watching Hardball. My wife was complaining that I was neglecting her because of all my time with Hardball. Anywho, MSNBC, no one watches.
Yes, Tony So has asked if Iraq is the most serious issue facing the U.S. at this time.
It's hard to say. Iraq certainly is the central front of the war on terror. There will be a significant amount of time devoted not just to Iraq, but to the war on terror and to the way in which we plan to move forward in addressing it.
We're not moving forward. Where did my pen go?
Did anybody see my pen?
Would you like to borrow mine?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I'll
play through the pen.
Meanwhile, that Missouri man accused of kidnapping two boys doesn't know how he's going to explain himself to his mom and dad.
If they're setting up a psychiatric defense, statements
to
make such
soon?
As problems...
Yes. Oh. Let's start again.
We have the whole story to go through. Nothing matters that we have any continuity here.
Take two.
A Missouri man accused of kidnapping two boys doesn't know how he's going to explain himself to his mom and dad. In an interview with the New York Post, Michael Devlin admits he's ashamed of himself. However, he pointed out he's not going to discuss anything related to the case. Defense attorney Kimberly Lerner says Devlin is doing the right thing.
If they're setting up a psychiatric defense, statements he makes, such as problems he's had growing up or things going through his mind, bizarre behavior, it certainly could help to create a psychiatric defense.
Yes, and defense attorney Kimberly Lerner says Michael Devlin has talked to a reporter.
Apparently, he's very lonely. I think he told the reporters that
his family or friends took all his boys away.
His attorneys have given strict instructions that only family and friends were to see him. I don't know what kind of identification this reporter showed, but this may be irresponsible on the part of the jail.
All right. Let's see. Kristen from accounting says, by the way, K2 still interrupts regular programming for the State of the Union address. She says, you don't want to be near the phone when it happens, though. Imagine every resident of Portland and surrounding areas over the age of 60 calling to say they can't watch Wheel of Fortune. It's an absolute nightmare.
Speaking of an absolute nightmare, my favorite program, Cold Case Files, was preempted on COIN last night to do this infomercial for starving children.
What do you mean an infomercial for starving? Who wants a starving child?
Well, they want you to donate to starving children.
Oh, okay.
To make sure we keep having them for some reason. But Cold Case Files, one of the hottest shows on TV, was preempted. And I was disappointed.
And so was this like the old... those shows have come... Those starving kid things, those have come a long way from the old Sally Struthers days, too.
This was... who was it? Marlo Thomas.
Marlo Thomas.
Marlo Thomas.
The hell is she doing these?
Didn't I mean, her on screen.
Well, just that.
Really?
Was it just her voice?
Just her voice, yeah.
Oh, that's. I wonder what that could be about. Because the Sally Struthers, she's really the one who pioneered that. Mm-hmm. Sally Struthers is the one, she broke all of that ground for just the cost of a cup of coffee. And what was up with her voice? Did she really talk like that, or was that an affectation, do you suppose? Because it wasn't just that Sally Struthers had sort of a scrapey voice, which I do kind of find hot. I mean, I can find a scrapey voice kind of attractive. Mm-hmm. But it was Sally Struthers, even back in the old, like the All in the Family days, she always talked as though she was suffering some severe lung scarring. Like she'd just gotten out of a TB ward somewhere. It was, so ain't no daughter of mine gonna go out with no black guy. Oh, but...
She may have grown up in your neighborhood.
And then she'd kind of do that, oh, but daddy! And it always is like she was trying to talk with one quarter of one lung, and the rest were all completely inactive. And then I thought it was some sort of a put-on. And then you saw her later on the Christian Children's Fund or whatever those... you know, if you look at the starving child, don't you feel bad, rich white person, those ads?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. It was like she could barely muster up the energy to speak, which, I mean, and if you see her, she's clearly doing a lot of eating. She's obviously putting a lot of energy into her body. I don't know why it is that she was not able to speak more effectively. Marlo Thomas, is she still married to Phil Donahue?
Yes.
Man, she was really beautiful in her day.
She was.
It's probably not the case now, as if they're unwilling to put her on camera. But,
anyway. Well, they were just showing the reruns of That Girl on TV Land a couple weeks ago.
Oh, she was really hot. Fantastic. Are these starving children still in the same place?
Oh, yeah, and their eyes are covered with flies and whatnot. I didn't watch too much of it. I mean, not that I don't care about children. I do. But I care more about seeing cold case files.
Right there. That's the honesty that the Rick Emerson Show is known for. What most people consider to be cruelty or sort of apathy towards the problems of the world, we instead identify correctly as an honest, unvarnished approach to the truth on this radio program. So there you go. This is Paul. Paul about cold case files. Hello, yeah, sir.
Right. The football game ran until after 10 o'clock on the East Coast, so it never was seen, that program was never seen on the East Coast because it didn't get shown there. It
shouldn't be our
problem. That's the reason why we couldn't see it here.
Well, why can't we see... Okay, but that doesn't make any sense. Why?
Well, they when they have a live event, like a sporting event,
yes,
then anything that's seen on the East Coast that would normally be preempted on the East Coast, they just don't put it here either. So,
well, what's the logic behind that? They're losing, I mean, they're sacrificing like 40% of their audience for no reason.
No, it's not so much that. It's that the program was not scheduled to be on anyway because of the football game.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
It's trying to be equal. They want us to make sure that we end up losing out just like they do back in New York.
So that made people feel angry toward the starving children, which is undeserving.
Seriously. Well, no, that's exactly the... Well, that's like the third point I was going to make. In the third place, that's true.
We become apathetic.
Yeah. So because then you're angry
that they ran without a trace right after the game. And the reason why they put it on right after the game, because that's the way it was seen on the East Coast.
Okay, I got
so they had to do the same thing here, and then the rest of the night was all back to local programming.
I got three things to say. A, you sound just like the bald guy with the horn-rimmed glasses who was a patient of Bob Newhart's on the Newhart Show. I mean, you know the guy I'm talking about, Tim?
Yes.
Was it the Bob Newhart Show? Was that the one where he was the shrink?
Mm-hmm.
And there was the bald guy with the glasses who was also in 12 Angry Men.
Mm-hmm.
You sound just like that guy. Secondly...
And the dentist on that show was the father of the guy who was on Buffy, who is now on Bones.
The dentist on the Bob Newhart Show in real life,
yes,
was the father of David Boreanaz?
Yes.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, his name was something Boreanaz. I can't remember what his
You're talking
name
about the dentist,
yeah,
and he had like the fro.
Yeah.
He had the white man's fro.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
By the way, now, tomorrow, because of the State of the Union dress, that's also going to affect primetime programming. Even though we see the State of the Union dress at 6 o'clock here, anything that's on at 9 o'clock on the East Coast would not be seen here either.
Well, fortunately, I watch anything on a network? I don't think I watch anything that's actually on a network.
Yeah. Well, that's the way that's all set up. That's the reason why it happened last night. Got to blame the damn football game.
All right. Well, I have two more thoughts on this. One, That makes me angry because it's that whole East Coast is more important than the rest of the country thing.
That's the way it is.
Fine, the East Coast doesn't get to watch, you know, cold case. Whatever, screw them. They
well,
fine.
We're
why
should we? Telescopes.
Well, seriously, in the era of this technology with satellite, ISDN, cable delivery, the intratubes and all of that, there's no reason why we, I mean, why you have to write off the whole country just because the East Coast can't get something. That makes me angry. I don't even watch the show when it makes me angry. Thirdly, what is my third place show? Thank you, Paul. Thirdly, you're right when you say that it makes you angry towards the starving children.
It does.
Because then it makes you feel like it's their fault. Have you ever done this? Have you ever had a program that you watched and you watched it religiously every week? It was a program you were really into. And then what do? It's a popular program, and so they take advantage of that. They exploit it, and they piggyback on it by preempting the really great show that you watch every week and sticking a brand new show into that slot, hoping to trick everybody who's tuning in to watch show number one into seeing the brand new show number two. And you're like, oh, wait, it's Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Can't wait to sit down and watch this fantastic program that I love so much. And then it's fantastic program number one will not be on tonight so that we can trick 80% of our audience into sticking around for lackluster show number two, which clearly isn't any good, or we wouldn't have to trick you into watching it by putting into the time slot normally reserved for show number one. Thank you, and God bless. And so what do I do in retaliation? I never watch show number two. Ever. It took me a long time, to come around to watching certain shows because they were foisted upon me in that manner. So screw that. Ken, about Marlo Thomas. Hello, sir.
Hey, this message is for Tim. Number one, yes, they did put her on TV last night.
No, I didn't watch long enough. I was very upset.
No,
I didn't watch long enough either, but I'm like, who is this? And my wife goes, it's Marlo Thomas, and it's the St. Jude Children's Hospital. So it wasn't as bad as Sally Struthers begging for donuts.
Is St. Jude a real saint?
Yes.
I thought she was like a Danny Thomas type of saint.
That's
No. St. Jude's a real thing. Anyway, yep, they did put her on TV. They did have Amy Grant doing some singing stuff. I went to the bedroom to play PSP, so.
It's really like, I was going to help the starving children, but I had to play Metal Gear Solid.
Exactly.
All right, thank you.
And anyone starving here, just, you know, terminally ill, and we'll probably die next week. We'll never see your money.
I didn't catch anything you said there.
More than likely, it's not starving kids, it's terminally ill children, and they'll die next week, and they'll never see the money that you give them anyway, so just let them go.
I'd like to know, by the way, Sarah, that you accuse me sometimes of being morbid. I would like to say that, really, by some standards, I'm a positively chipper individual. All right, thank you, Ken.
Thank you, guys. Love you. Right.
There
Bye.
You go. Thank you. There you go. Let's take a break. Come back with more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. What a dark program this is sometimes. 503-733-2970. Sarah's dying slowly in the background. Oh, God. All right.
Don't laugh. We'll have this by tomorrow.
It's fun.
Oh, I can't believe I have to ride the bus.
All three
like
of us are going to be choking here for four straight hours.
It's one tough button here after another. Hume decor. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Just a moment. We return to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Let's see. Here we go. Rick, about Bill Clinton being the first black president was said by Donna Brazile, Democratic campaign consultant. I don't think that's true.
Donna Brazile.
I don't believe that's true. Because I don't think she was, the campaign consultant until Gore ran. Well, I don't know. I'm just pretending to know crap I don't know. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, host of the Ground Zero Lounge from Clyde. Two tacos and a large horchata. Clyde Lewis.
Horchata. Hey.
Hello.
I just wanted to call, and I'm at a noisy, noisy place eating right now.
Okay.
And very busy man, you know me.
Yes, you're multitasking, as you always do, sir. What's up in the world of Clyde Lewis?
Well, a lot of interesting things in the world of Clyde Lewis. First of all, once again, shamelessly plugging the Alien Invasion book that's out right now.
Which I saw. I was over at Aaron's this weekend. I saw the Alien Invasion. This is not the plug. Saw the Alien Invasion role-playing book, and it's got that badass picture of you guys, and it's very, very cool. It's damn impressive is what it is.
Awesome. I'm excited for it, and I'm waiting to see my copies. They haven't gotten my copies to me yet. I guess, you know, Aaron has got the pull, and that's cool. Another thing that's really interesting, this is like out of the blue for me. They're going to be putting together, there's a new documentary coming out called A Day Called X. And this documentary should be showing at the Sundance Film Festival and at the Longbaugh Film Festival, which will be here in Portland, Oregon in March. But I may be able to get a copy of it and show it at Dante's in 2 weeks. And what it is back in 2003, a film crew followed me around thinking that I had an interesting life. They followed me around and they captured Klingon karaoke, back when we had Klingon karaoke going on.
Right.
They captured Betsy doing a dance as Princess Leia with stormtroopers and Darth Vader. They captured a number of people to talk about, you know, what we were doing in Portland with the underground geek movement and everything that we were doing. And so I guess it's a half hour long, and it should be ready to go by March, but they're supposed to give me a preview copy, and hopefully I'll be showing it in 2 weeks at Dante's. I just have to make the arrangements for it. But this week, we're going to be doing a show, and this is going to be a great follow-up show to the shows that are already on Google Video. I mean, if you go to google.com and type in Clyde Lewis in the video section, you'll be able to see the show we did on UFOs. And we had a number of UFO sightings and all kinds of crazy stuff going on a week ago. And we had basically made mention that we think that what's going on is just some sort of testing of space weapons. And now China's testing weapons and the United States is testing weapons. And so now we're going to do a follow-up. It's really interesting. You'll be seeing some uncensored footage tonight of the reporter in Chicago, the reporter of the UFO sighting over O'Hare. He was off camera, and the things that he said off camera are very interesting about what didn't get reported to the news. So we got that off satellite, which is really cool.
Fantastic.
We've also got some new UFO footage out of China. Fascinating UFO footage. You see something actually disintegrate in the sky. It's amazing to watch.
And Clyde, and go ahead.
And just a bunch of other crazy things that we're going to be talking about.
Excellent. Tim has handed me this. Apparently A Day Called X, and apparently there was A Day Called X was apparently all. Is this the same film that you're talking about? It's a dramatized atomic evacuation of Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. All right.
It's named after a dramatized evacuation of Portland, Oregon.
Excellent.
And they named it after that.
Cool. All right, and so tonight everything gets underway 8 p.m. at Dante's?
Exactly. So get there early. It's going to be a huge show. We got a lot of great footage to show you. Last week was a blowout. I mean, every show gets more and more of a blowout, and if you miss out on any of them, you can type in Clyde Lewis Google, and hopefully they'll be in there. A guy comes all the way from London and basically tape records them all, goes back to London and puts them on all the European websites, and they wind up on Google. So,
fantastic.
It's pretty cool.
Excellent. 8 p.m. tonight, Dante's, the Ground Zero Lounge, and find out more online at ClydeLewis.com. Yes.
That woman does look like me on Sarah's blog.
It's creepy. It is. It's messed up.
That was Tim Riley. 68. I just know it.
No, it ain't right. All right, there you go. Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, sir. Clyde Lewis, the original hairy, scary guy.
Okay.
All right. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. All right, in just mere moments, we are rejoined by Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. All right, what the hell am I... Rick, now is the perfect time to let Sarah go home, take inventory of her underwear, and lay down to watch... that's a roommate reference. And lay down to watch her afternoon Perry Mason in sick pain. Let's see. I'm sure one of your nearby listeners would offer to take her home. What else do we have here?
I cannot believe that I have to get on the bus.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You didn't drive. Oh that's going to be fun. Well, I mean, at least you can't get any sicker.
That's true.
Really, the bus is one big circle of life. Think about all the infectious things you breathed in on one of those buses. Now it's your turn to give back.
And today's probably going to be one of those days where everyone's going to be taking the bus at the same time. And
totally.
There will only be standing room.
No, and the bus will go by you. You'll try to wave it down. It'll drive by you, you know, in the rain because it'll be full. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Everybody will be coughing like they're nuclear attack victims, seriously. By the way, that film Clyde was talking about came out in 1957. I believe it was produced by CBS. and it was aired on CBS, it showed what Portland would undergo if it was attacked in a nuclear war.
Fantastic.
Like the underground bunker and stuff. And it showed the announcers on this radio station warning people that an attack was coming.
Is that true?
There's a guy, the announcer at that time is sitting in front of a coin radio microphone.
Which was, this was coin radio at the time.
And it's available online free. Just look it up.
Excellent. There you go.
It's all public domain.
Fantastic. Oh, by the way, about this. Here's a Bill Richardson fact that will annoy Tim. Bill Richardson, who's the governor of Mexico, owns the world record for the number of handshakes in one day. Over 13,000. So there
somebody
you go.
Stand over the clicker?
Apparently that fact was confirmed by George Stephanopoulos. All right. Here is Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, let's talk more about Kansas Republican presidential hopeful Sam Brownback. Brownback. Who wants the Roe versus Wade decision that legalized abortion overturned and sent back to the states. The senator told ABC this week that he's voted pro-life and has worked on the issue for a long time.
Nobody's going to know where the individuals are on the issue of abortion, but I believe if somebody's a strict constructionist, they're more likely to interpret the Constitution in a manner that says that this issue should be resolved by the states.
Well, that guy's never going to be president.
Except for the gays, Brownback believes it's important that all life is sacred.
And it's the child in the womb, but it's also the mother that's in poverty, and it's the child that's in Darfur, and it's the man that's in prison. And I think if we can present a fulsome picture, people will start to see that we do believe life is sacred, and we are willing to fight for it, and that this is a good thing.
Fighting for all white, straight, Christian life everywhere.
In the Midwest.
He's a pioneer. He's a real... man of God. All right.
Well, Martha Stewart is interviewing the crew aboard the International Space Station. It didn't take long for the conversation to turn to food. Astronaut Sunita Williams showed us some delicious dehydrated foods that make up her diet.
It's really an honor and a privilege to be up here. But if you've got any tips for how we could, you know, fix up the place or make some better meals, we're welcome for that.
Martha said she's been helping her friend, the next space tourist, Charlie, review his diet.
I've been helping him choose some foodstuffs that are approved by the Russians. He's going up with the Russian team.
That's quite a code.
And he hopes to have a surprise banquet.
Way to have high standards. No, the Russians approve this food. The Russian diet, which consists mainly of sticks.
Mm-hmm. And former civilians of small countries. Roadkill run over by their tanks during the last insurrection.
Didn't I used to have three brothers? You shut up. You eat your gruel.
All right. Meanwhile, this is a local thing. 10 new cases involving child sex abuse will be filed today against the Mormons.
Oh, wait. Should this be a clergy watch?
Well, it's kind of. It's half Boy Scout and half church.
Half Boy Scout, half church. All pedophile.
Well, I guess it would be nice.
Half Boy Scout, half church? That's like a super pedophile. That's like the Serpentor of pedophiles. Deep humor there.
So we're about to have two brand new cases involving child abuse. They'll be filed today against the Mormon Church and the Boy Scouts of America. Portland attorney Kelly Clark said he planned to file a lawsuit in Multnomah County Courthouse. Clark is the same attorney who represented the plaintiffs in the lawsuit against the Catholic Church. Authorities have not yet told the media when the alleged abuse take place and who stands accused. It appears two people referred to as Al and Mel want to sue the Mormon Church and the Boy Scouts. They're somehow connected in the allegations.
I can't possibly...
Mormon Boy Scouts?
Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, the Mormons and Boy Scouts go together like bacon and egg. They really do.
Oh.
Because they share all the same things. They're all clean-shaven and trying to keep gays out of everything. So they really... And they apparently agree on molestation as well. So
yeah.
There you go. So it's a natural fit.
It is.
So to speak. Mm. All right. There's your clergy watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Because I got to have faith.
A Wisconsin man lucky to be alive after only breaking a leg after falling 17 stories from a Minneapolis hotel. 28-year-old Joshua Hassan crashed through a window at the Hyatt Regency and landed on the roof overhang near the hotel's main entrance. He and two friends were drinking and horse playing.
Reed having rough sex.
Around an elevator that took them to the 17th floor. For some reason, Hansen ran toward a floor-to-ceiling window and crashed right through.
For some reason, look, here's what I need you to do. I need you to run right towards that window. Now, don't stop. Just keep going. All right. What kind of horseplay? Never mind. What kind of horseplay involves running from an elevator towards a glass window?
Well, it is the Midwest. What else are you supposed to do there after dark?
I guess that's true.
An Ohio man pleading guilty to killing his dad over possession of the remote control for the television. Jason Dodds, who's 24, admitted to firing 6 shots at his stepfather, hitting him with 5 of them. The shooting happened early one morning last October. The prosecutor in the case said Dodds phoned 911 and told the dispatcher he snapped when his dad took the remote control. He pleaded guilty. Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Justice has ordered the world's biggest investment banks, accountants, and law firms to hand over emails, telephone records, and papers connected with Internet gambling firms as part of an investigation into illegal online gambling in America. The Department of Justice first issued subpoenas in October, only days after George Bush sounded the death knell for America's $6 billion Internet gambling industry by signing legislation banning all related transactions.
Oh, sons of bitches. That makes me
so
angry.
But until now, this has been kept secret. These subpoenas will continue to arrive over the next 3 weeks. It is thought that some investors in online gambling companies, including Party Gaming and 888.com, have been hit for requests for information.
The whole thing makes me furious because, I mean, nobody's really talking about this. This is one of those things that the media is just not really covering.
Let's talk.
And find solutions together. Would you like a weekend program, Tim?
Kind of sounds like something in that vein, doesn't it?
I don't know. Say it again, and I'll make a... Say that again.
Let's talk and find solutions together.
There you go. That's an air check. Just put that on a CD. Leave it at the front desk at 4:59 on a Friday. Try not to bathe before.
Sign your resume with a red crayon.
Put an upside-down happy face on it.
Don't forget the clown sticker.
Anywho, what was I saying? Oh, but the thing about online gambling is this, and nobody really talks about this, that, I mean, and it's not talking about like some shady underworld gambling. This was like very mainstream online, when they say online gambling, they mean poker. Yeah. Online poker sites that like my wife went to and so forth. I mean, God, that guy that founded PartyPoker.com. You talk about a guy that got it at just the right time. He sold his stake in the company for like $900 billion, like 2 weeks before the government made it illegal, and they lost 60% of their share value in one day. And now, everybody who has played online gambling, apparently the government is, you just read it right there, the government is trying to get credit reports and the online banking records of any American citizen that engaged in online gambling, which includes me, and I'm saying it right here, which includes me and my wife and almost everyone we know. So we may all be going to prison sometime soon. You can probably see, you can find a song for that. I may not be dead soon, but I may be in prison. You can play a song for that. All right, here's Tim Riley.
The pilot of a Continental Airlines flight became too ill after takeoff and was later pronounced dead after the plane made an emergency landing.
Don't think about that next time you fly.
On Saturday's flight, which departed from Houston, were never in any danger whatsoever.
Oh, no, of course not. With a dead pilot.
As the co-pilot landed the plane effortlessly. The airline said only one pilot dropped dead, so what's the problem? Continental believes the pilot died of natural causes. His name has not yet been released. It was bound for Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. It took off from Houston's George Bush Intercontinental Airport. George Bush Intercontinental Airport?
He's filling your own joke here.
The flight continued to Mexico with a fresh crew who were very much alive.
Seriously, whatever you do, don't think about that the next time you're flying. But the fact that the pilot might, in fact, die. And, you know, the thing is, they probably didn't discover it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they fly an autopilot for large sections of flights like that. And it was probably, hold on, Bob, are you kidding me? Bob? Hello, Bob? I only wish that it had been, like, he'd been making one of those, like,
ladies and gentlemen, if you are on the left side of the plane, you'll be able to see the Grand Coulee Dam. People on the right side of the plane, you're going to get a great view of one of our many lovely mountains.
And then just that. Oh, to be on a plane when that happens. Oh, someday, with luck. If I live a clean life, maybe the Lord will
progress me with that.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Tapper Penis Watch.
This is a great penis watch, by the way. It's your penis watch for Monday.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start melting away.
Ba-dum-bow.
I take a look at my enormous penis. And I, every
everything is going my way.
In a fit of rage, a Romanian doctor cut off a patient's penis during surgery, then proceeded to mutilate it.
Oh!
The 36-year-old Romanian man had gone into Bucharest Hospital to have corrective surgery on one of his testicles.
Mistake one.
During the operation, surgeon Nam Kulmu lost his temper, picked up a scalpel, and hacked off the man's penis. To the shock of the nursing staff, he then placed the penis on an operating table and proceeded to chop it into small pieces before storming out of the theater.
Oh, my God!
Afterwards, Kulmu claimed that he was under stress and lost his temper. Please forgive me.
No problem.
He had his medical license suspended by a Romanian court.
Not revoked. Not taken away, but suspended.
Well, there is a brain drain in Romania.
Time served.
Yeah. All right, that's genius. And I love the explanation. First of all, that the man wasn't even there for a penile operation.
Mm-hmm.
He was there to have one of his testicles looked at. And that, I mean, first of all, what did he say, that he lost his temper?
Yes, that's true.
I don't know what you do, but can't they get him one of those little squeezy things? Can they get him one of those little things that you squeeze and the eyes pop out or whatever? There's no need to be chopping up a penis.
Well, this is Romania.
Seriously.
I mean, they got a light bulb hanging by a wire swinging back and forth, and the man's supposed to find his place to do surgery.
It's just outside in a clapboard.
Hanging upside down, blocking the view.
Clapboard, outside in a clapboard shack where you're being driven mad by the sound of dripping water, and there's cockroaches scurrying over the operating room table. That's fantastic.
It is.
I wonder, but just here's the thing: is don't you wonder what he was angry about? Like, don't you? What could really make you lose your temper to that degree? It's fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean horrifying. There's your penis watch for whatever the hell this is.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start melting away.
We'll do one more here.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Let's see, what do we have here? Rick, the Mormons have their own branch of the Scouts, separate from everybody else. I don't know that that's true or not. There's some joke there with the Mormons wanting wanting a Boy Scout branch. Nah, it's not. It's quite. It's just like three degrees too far away. I can't quite make it work. Yeah, let's do one more here and then we'll break.
Americans are in a dark mood about the State of the Union. Most believe the country's on the wrong track. A complete flip from 5 years ago, according to an AP AOL poll. Americans see the president as likable, decisive, and strong, but also stubborn.
Seriously, and when George Bush...
many people still think he's likable, decisive, and strong.
And when George Bush has lost people who use AOL, he's lost everyone.
Only a minority think that he is honest, 44% down from 53% 2 years
44%
ago.
44% of this country thinks he's honest?
Yeah, we're talking about this country.
All right.
We're not talking about the city. Or
I feel a suburban region. Perspective coming on. Hold on. Sarah has that you read my mind look. Hold on. Bush equals honest. All right. Excellent. Oh, I'm sorry. I just ignored it again. Honest. Fantastic. Bush equals honest. All right. Excellent.
4 in 10, or about 42%, think the country will now be better off. The Democrats control the Congress, while 18% think it'll be worse off. 39% says it won't make a bit of difference. They're probably right.
I think 100% of the people in this room don't care.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Later on, we have Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. More from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Scotty J with the Suburban Perspective and the creepiest thing you've ever heard. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program.